seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we are digging into one of my favorite topics for this episode, how to turn the people you know into readers. The best books to use to lure them into readerhood. All right. The gateway books, our 2025 gateway book guide.
Book guide for people who don't read.
But first, we have Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News. We've got a lot today. Natasha, you want to kick us off with something?
Oh, I have so much stuff, I feel.
So do I.
Added to this doc. Okay, I have to talk about the Pride and Prejudice casting news. So if you guys remember, I feel like it was a couple months ago, like after, not maybe almost a year ago, after Bridgerton kind of released. So maybe June, okay? July. And they announced the two competing Pride and Prejudice miniseries that are coming. So there's one about Mary Bennet that's coming to the BBC. And then there was another one that was like rumored. And remember, I did a little digging and I found out like the creator hadn't actually got the green light from Netflix yet. Do you kind of remember this?
I remember you being like, it's not real. There's no confirmation.
Well, because there wasn't a confirmation from any of like Netflix. So it was just kind of up in the air for a long time. And then all of a sudden,
just like boom, that movie,
casting news. Oh, how this stuff happens. So what were you going to say, Christine?
So, no, I was just saying just like that movie with George Clooney and Jessica from Twilight.
Oh, up in the air. Okay. So this is the Netflix miniseries by Dolly Adderton. She also had like a BBC series. I don't really know her. That's the name that everyone. Okay.
Okay.
So the actress who's going to be playing Lizzie Bennet is Emma Corrin from The Crown, or Deadpool, if she was like the villain in Deadpool, the one who like went into your mind with her hand.
Oh, okay.
She played the young in The Crown. Yes. She played the young
Margaret? Who did she play?
Princess Diana. Diana.
Oh, no. Young Diana. Okay.
And then we have, I'll put my thoughts after this. Then we have Jack Lowden, who's going to be playing Mr. Darcy. I know him from one episode of Rings of Power. He played the young Sauron.
But one episode.
But he's in Dunkirk.
Do you really know him?
Not really.
Oh, Dunkirk. Oh,
people in my DMs are like, I love him. I'm like, have I not seen what this man's in? He's a Scottish actor. And then my favorite casting is Olivia Colman, who is playing Mrs. Bennet.
Oh my God, I love Olivia Colman.
I'm very excited for her.
She's the best.
Yeah. So this is, it feels like every generation we're going to get a new Pride and Prejudice retelling, which I'm perfectly fine with. I love them.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Obviously, I grew up with the 2005 Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. My opinion is I wish I had seen that they had cast someone who maybe was more curvaceous. That's my personal opinion. I feel like Emma Corrin is literally copy-paste of Keira Knightley in some regard. You know, she's like besides Daisy Edgar Jones, she's like the new like English girl, like the new English.
I feel like I don't really know her, but maybe she's up and coming.
She's been in a bunch of things. But I mean, I wasn't too excited about the casting, but you know, I'm sure she's going to do a great job. That's just my initial opinion. I'm not like thrilled. I'm not excited. I'm just like, okay, it's going to be 8 episodes long. It's going to be pretty long.
Hmm. That seems like a normal length, but maybe long for a Pride and Prejudice.
I think long for Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 6 episodes would be enough, sufficient.
Maybe they'll expand on the side stories.
Maybe. I hope so. Mm-hmm. We'll get some more. But like, yeah.
Some new banter.
Yeah, no one in the chat has any opinions. I was hoping you guys would have some opinions about this casting.
What if one episode they have them go on like fun outings that don't happen in the book? Like they go to a fair.
I mean,
Dossie and
Lizzie.
What's her, Lizzie. And they brush hands a couple more times, like brush shoulders.
We would love that.
They like accidentally back into each other.
Tamara says, I'm mad about this project. I mean,
here comes the two
there
senses.
There we go. This is what I needed. Metal says, I like the actress, but I agree. She's kind of just like Keira Knightley. Malin says, Malin? Malin?
Yeah, I asked. Tell us how you pronounce it.
I personally don't think you can beat 2005, so not too excited about this casting. Seems bland. Besides Olivia Colman.
I feel like, though, it's all going to depend on the writing and the shooting and the way the cinematography and everything. Like, it's not going to be bland if everything else isn't bland.
Yeah. I am going to keep an open heart and an open mind about it. Mm-hmm. I'm all for more Pride and Prejudice. I just hope it still captures the essence of how magical the 2005 version is. So.
All right. Well, next, huge Survivor news dropped. I knew this was coming, but it's been a while since I heard any news about it. And we got our first look at this new season of Australian Survivor. So Australian Survivor used to be available on Paramount Plus for like a beautiful like 4 months. We had access to Australian Survivor.
Okay.
And I binge watched one of the seasons. And that season, I found a lot of inspiration from that. That I used in Attached at the Hip because it's like slightly more intense, not slightly, it's more intense than American Survivor. Like American Survivor, the longest was like 42 days. Australian Survivor averages around 50 days on that island, okay? And American Survivor, you win $1 million. Australian Survivor, you win $500,000. So it's longer for less money.
Oh.
Out in the wilderness. And some, and the intensity of the physical challenges is cranked up. Like some of those challenges are way difficult and cray cray. Okay. So it was very exciting to watch. And I watched season 6, which was Champions versus Contenders, which is kind of like people who are doing really well and overachievers versus like underdog story mm-hmm. people. And it was really good. Highly recommend. That's David's season. It's season 6. That's his first season. And he was just on Deal or No Deal Island. He's the most famous Australian Survivor player, in my opinion, because he was on an American TV show, too. But anyway, 3 of the best American Survivor players of all time are going to be on this new season of Australian Survivor called Australia versus World.
Ooh.
Okay. So it's 7 Australian players versus 7 players from the rest of the world. One is Tony, who won like the 75th Hunger Games Survivor season of all winners. He's the winner of all the winners. Okay. He's from New Jersey. He's a policeman. His name is Tony. He's also just well regarded as one of the best Survivor players. He's played 2 other times before this and obviously won one of those times because he was on the winner's season. He's coming. Suri, the best player never to win, coming back for this season. And she was on Traitors season 1 and won. And Tony was also on the most recent season of the Traitors but got ousted very quickly because they knew he was the winner of the all-winner season of Survivor. And the third player is Parvati. Parvati has been on everything lately. If you watch the season 2 of The Traitors, she does really well on that season. She's a main character. She's fabulous. She has won Survivor. She's played Survivor. She was on the All-Star season of Survivor that Tony won. She also won Fans versus Favorites season 16. She's famous for her all-female Black Widow Brigade alliance of all women that made it all the way to the end.
Oh.
Such a good season. And she made it all the way to the end. This is very important. In the top three with Ceree. And Ceree is, again, on this season with her. Okay, which is very interesting because she also just played Deal or No Deal Island, got to the top three. And she got to the top three with her alliance member, David, who is the best player on Australian Survivor. And he is in this season too. So she has like very strong connections with a lot of the people there. Anyway, so exciting. But Paramount Plus doesn't have Australian Survivor anymore, which is very upsetting because it's like impossible to watch it unless you get a VPN, which I did for one of the seasons. And it's glitchy as fuck when you get a VPN.
No.
I know, but I'm going to do it because I
can
need to watch
it?
These. The VPN?
No, can you buy the seasons?
No, it's so annoying. It's not even available to buy on Amazon.
Dumb. I hate when that happens.
I know. And I really am feeling like I want to watch because I want to see David win his All-Star
season.
You
should put out a story and be like, Paramount Plus, please bring Survivor.
Well, I did put out a story. I didn't tag Paramount Plus.
Do that.
I bet a lot of people did yesterday when this was announced because that's very upsetting. But you know what's crazy? This is going to be like a condensed season. It's only 16 days and there's only 14 people and they're all super all-stars. So it's really interesting. Anyway, that's my Survivor news. Very exciting, but also very frustrating because it's hard to watch.
Exciting and frustrating. Yeah.
Shot says Attached at the Hip is making its rounds in my book club amongst the Survivor fans right now. Cool. Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Shots.
I know. We also just got when Christine came and got her hair done, we got a girly to buy it right on the spot.
Yeah. She said she's going to have her book club read it. Yeah. So that was so exciting, too.
Okay. Next in the news, Robert Pattinson is eyed for the villain role in Dune Messiah. This is the third Dune movie. And, okay, I don't know.
Eyed. They're just looking at.
I don't know a lot about Dune, okay? I didn't read them. My brother did. I wish he was here to tell us
some more. I feel
like
you know a decent amount because, Alex.
But I'm going to say some information that I don't know. And I want you all to know that I don't know this information, okay? I got it from Deadline. The villain's name is Skytail, and he is a, I put the pronunciation down here, Tale Laksu face dancer, a Benny Tale Laksu. I feel like that's how it's pronounced. Okay, you know, like the Benny Gesserit. This is a different thing. They clone people, and they wear different. They transform into people. I think that's why they're called the face dancers. I don't know, okay? So the face dancers were first established in the HBO prequel series Dune Prophecy. I should probably watch that. As a shape-shifting race created by the Benny.
Aaron says they shift their faces into other people's faces. So it's kind of like on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I thought I was right
there. The faceless ones.
Okay. I mean, I'm like, if you get Robert Pattinson, why would you have him shift his face?
Yeah.
So
he just rules over the face shifters.
In Dune Messiah, Skytail, Robert Pattinson, this is rumor, by the way, is she's just in talks. It's not confirmed. It will probably be confirmed. Just let you know. That's how this stuff works. In Dune Messiah, Skytail, a master manipulator, becomes a formidable psychological adversary to Paul Atreides. Alongside the Tale Laksu, Bene Gesserit, and Spacing Guild, he conspires to overthrow the Emperor and dismantle his rule.
Okay,
so
cool.
He plays a villain in the third Dune movie, hopefully.
All right.
I think this is interesting, though, because now Rob has been in
many franchises,
but also alongside, he's been in three movies with Zendaya. Because he did the there's an A23 movie coming out that they had the behind the scenes stuff with, I can't remember what it's called, with Zendaya, that he stars with her. And then in the Christopher Nolan Odyssey film.
The Odyssey.
And then now Dune.
The Odyssey is like filming. That's crazy. Cries off.
They're supposed to be filming the next Dune this summer, I think. That's what they said.
Oh, well, good for our pets. He's really making his rounds.
Yeah. He's bopping.
He's bopping. He's popping off. All right. So this happened this past weekend, but Gaga headlined Coachella. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't aware I was missing it when it was happening. So I was very upset. I had to watch all the clips on YouTube and stuff. But it was fantastic. And I just kept watching clips during my breaks and watching her perform Born This Way in the year 2025. And it was just like, I found it really emotional. I was like tearing up. And I just can't believe, because this album was such like a part of my life, that where things were really transforming and evolving and stuff. So I have such like deep ingrained memories of this album. And like, I learned all the dances and did all these videos. And I was just like tearing up. She's doing the same dance from the music video and stuff, the choreography and stuff with it. It was really, really good. She ended with Bad Romance, which was also like so much fun to watch. She did Abracadabra, and then it like went into Judas, and it was such a great transition. I don't know if you've seen, it was like Abracadabra, Abra, and then it was like dun, 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 like in between. Yeah, it was so good. And again, she did like the Judas choreo, which has gone viral on TikTok recently. And it's just crazy to me because it's all from 2011 and it's 2025 and it's still just as relevant and exciting as it was then. And I think a whole new generation is rediscovering that album and those music videos and stuff.
That's amazing. And
yeah, it was just very, it was really, really good. And she did, I really liked, you know how at the end of Bad Romance, she's on the bed and it's like on fire and she's next to a skeleton and her boobs are sparking? Mm-hmm. So she opened up Disease, the performing it, like in the sandbox, like the camera was above her. And she's like in the same sort of outfit with a skeleton next to her. So she was kind of like referencing the end of that going into Disease. Oh. And it was really cool when she like climbed out of the sandbox and she was like fighting herself. It was so good. It was art. And I want the whole thing like professionally filmed to watch on Netflix or something, because I didn't get to see it that way. I've seen clips of people like in the audience, you know.
I missed all of it. Like
all
everything.
Of the Coachella stuff.
Just all of it. I saw outfits of my friends and that's about it. I do I love Coachella. I don't like being there. I like watching it from afar.
Yeah.
I love the
Yeah,
bits.
I want to watch from afar.
I love to see like the crazy stuff that happens, the parties that people go to. It's great fun on the internet.
What's next on your news?
Okay. Twilight is coming to concert. Twilight's going to be live in concert across the country this fall. About everyone and their mother tagged me in this or sent it to me. Mm-hmm. Not like I didn't see it. I love you guys, though. So this is how this is working. I first initially thought that this was going to be like Twilight in concert, like maybe they'll have like cover bands playing the mute, like the songs from the soundtrack, you know?
Oh, I thought it was going to be the score like they do for like Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's just the score.
Okay.
That's it. But
well, because they can't have all these bands lined up to play the like 5 second clip that's in the movie.
You know what I want? I want a full Twilight concert once in a lifetime. All of these bands come and play. They did that at the premiere. Like they brought, like I got to see a bunch of things. That needs to happen again.
But the thing with like this movie, watching the movie, you can't have the bands playing because it's like a 2 second clip of all their songs. That's it. It's like, and go start at this part for the part of the song. It's really funny, actually.
That would be hilarious. Okay, go, go, go.
Run, run. Get off. Next band.
Yeah. So it's coming to a city near you. It's coming to me.
Look it up. Look it up.
I think I want to go. I think that would be fun. I just like when I watch Twilight though, like I can't not but not be vocal. So it might be a little difficult for me to.
I feel like in such a big crowd, it'll be different too with the orchestra going.
It's huge though. Like it's going to performing arts centers. Like this is like.
I thought it would be like at the Hollywood Bowl or something. It's not.
I don't know. I haven't looked at the LA one, but the one near me is at the Performing Arts Center. So.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. For those of you who haven't heard yet, we're going to be at RomanceCon this year. It is September 5th and September 6th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Random place, super fun con. Make sure you get your tickets now. If you want to get 15% off your ticket, you can use code FANGIRL, F-A-N-G-I-R-L, at checkout. 15% off your ticket. We are going to be doing a live panel. It's going to be so fun. We're going to have an author guest with us, and we are going to be like all over the place doing things at the con. There's going to be a meetup. There's going to be I'm going to have a table. We're going to be there. I'm going to be there as an author. There will be books. There's going to be lots of authors, a huge list of huge authors. So make sure you take a look.
And so much fun last time.
Website. So. Yeah. And it was jam-packed. We were just like running from one thing to the next.
What else? You've got like a few things here.
You can say this one. I just put this down.
I didn't even see this. Can you tell me what this is?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just saw it announced on like one of the film Twitters that I follow, but there's going to be a Lion King land coming to Paris. Oh. I mean, Disneyland Paris. Yeah.
So how did you see this before I did?
I don't know. It was just like I follow the film Twitters and the film Twitter had announced it. But there was new concept art that was released for it. So that's cool.
Methinks that with
Epic
Universe being such a hit, that's the new park in Universal. Like Disney's got some major
catching up to do.
They got to
compete with the new fresh lands. I mean, Lion King Land sounds cool to me.
I wonder if they're gonna have like the Roblox
Circle of Life. You know, they could do a Circle of Life, like Small World sort of a thing. What if
like
they
on
did
Fried Rock?
Yeah, well, what if they did a Splash Mountain off of Fried Rock and you just like fall off the cliff and you see all the animals as you fall? I love that.
They should also have like something where you go and someone puts a hand on you and then you have like the handprint on your face.
Oh. Oh my god, they should have a thing where you dance to Hakuna Matata. You learn to dance Hakuna Matata and you dance like in a line. Oh yeah. My god, that'd be so precious.
I wonder if they're gonna have like Simba and Nala like as robots to meet.
Oh my god, also yeah, they probably will. That's just like How to Train Your Dragon. But you know they could do like a scary roller coaster ride where the song with Scar,
oh, yeah,
be prepared, and like dun 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 dun.
Fire.
I can see it now. Smoke, green fire. Wow, I want to go.
This world that we've made.
We made a really good one. Meet Rafiki.
Becca said that would be so cool. We just should become Imagineers.
Give us the job.
Do you want to say anything else? Or
yeah. So oh, and for all the Survivor fans out there who love romance, there's this book called Attached at the Hip that is out now that you have to read. Bring it to your book clubs, bring it to your mom, bring it to your sister, bring it to your friend who doesn't like reading but loves reality TV. Get them into reading using Attached at the Hip by Christine Reggio. Like one of my things is like, I want my book to be able to be a gateway book. And I think about this when I'm writing all the time. Like I want someone to pick this up and be like, oh, I could read this and this sounds fun. And Ath is definitely one of those that's attached.
Ath is definitely.
Yeah. It's attached to the hip. And I really think like, if you have any friend that you want to turn into a reader and they like any reality shows or games, like if they are a gamer of some type, like a strategist, like that Survivor is great for them. And this book is great for them, I feel like, to get them in. So that's available now. It's in, the link is in the show notes. And if you read it and loved it, I enjoyed it. it's super, super helpful to my career as an author. If you take a second to review it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you devoured it, Audible, you know, it's really important. The reviews are really important to getting the algorithm to promote the books to new readers, so to help people find it. So thank you if you already have. And if you haven't and you plan on doing it, I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Got invited to a screening of it tonight.
I kind of wish
I was going.
Yeah. I want to go to this. I want to see this now. Sinners is now officially the highest rated film of 2025. And that is, it's holding 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's described as a thematically brilliant vampire horror that could be Coogler's magnum opus. So is his name Ryan? His first name, Ryan Coogler?
Ryan Coogler.
He did The Black Panther and other films as well. But I think that's his most famous film. And this is with Michael B. Jordan and Hailee
Steinfeld.
And I really want to see it.
I didn't know it was a vampire movie.
I didn't either. They spoiled it.
I thought it was a boxing movie.
But I'm more excited now. I didn't think it was a boxing movie. It gave like horror. It makes sense to me that it's a vampire horror film.
I didn't see anything. All I saw was the Hot Ones versus.
You didn't see the trailer?
No.
Oh, okay. That's where I got the vibe that it might be vampire-y.
Well, okay. Gotta go watch that now.
Yep. All right. And, do you want to say this?
Oh, I forgot I added this. Sorry, I was up.
We have a lot of news.
okay. This is great. The Oscars finally adds stunt design category to the 2027 Oscar lineup.
Academy Awards.
Academy Awards. Yeah.
So go ahead. I was going to ask you a question about it.
Well, they've never acknowledged stunts at all in the movie making process. And if you kind of remember last year, Ryan Gosling's movie
Fall Guy.
Literally just he took his entire press, their entire press tour rally or what's the word to
to advocate for a stunt category at the Oscars. I think this is great. I'm kind of curious as to, does it mean like just the stunt coordinator gets recognized? Do the stuntmen also get recognized who are risking their lives to make this movie magic?
I'm wondering too.
I feel like they should be recognized together because they're a team.
I feel like if you think about costume design, it's only the main costumer.
That's a bummer.
And like not all, I mean, that's everything with movies. Like, assistant directors don't get, recognized.
Well, but this is kind of different because a stunt like literally couldn't happen without the guy doing it. Like you have to be really talented to do that stunt. Whereas and you have to be able to do what the director tells you to do. It's like the actor. It's not like the assistant who like is learning more than doing the actual thing.
So I do think though this is just one category and it's just gonna be the stunt
coordinator.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll grow out from there because those guys like they have to be ripped as fuck and they have to be so skilled in all different types of falling.
Not even just there, but it's also like stunt driving.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And like they have to know how to flip cars and shit without getting hurt. Like there's ways to do everything and it takes so much skill and finesse. All right, we learned a lot about stunt guys last year. And last thing on the dock today is it's that time of year where we're asking for input on the Patreon for what you want to see on the podcast. So we love getting your input. And honestly, our patrons gave so much amazing input last year, and we did almost every single
We made
an episode almost about around every single topic that was suggested. So thank you guys so much for that. If you want to be a patron, make sure to check out the link in the description. It's patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. And our community over there is so much fun. We'd love to have you join it. And there's three tiers, and we have so many fun perks. We always talk about it every single week. We'd love to have you, and you can do a free trial if you're interested in testing it out for 7 days to see if you want to commit. And if you want to commit, we really appreciate your support, because this is a job, and this is the only way we get paid for it, and we're paying a lot out to keep it going. So we really appreciate your support.
That we do. Thank you guys so much.
Yes. And we appreciate all your input too. So thank you for, I think we have like 15 comments right now for like lots of different new ideas for this year. And
yeah, it's so fun to see how people like really resonate with, say, the advice stuff, the like more the life stuff, the Q&A stuff, or even like last week's episode where we talked about the male loneliness epidemic. And then there's other people who are like, I really like the book stuff.
Yeah. So someone said they really loved Chapter Chat, and I was like, this is so nice. No one ever talks about Chapter Chat.
I know. I miss it.
All right. What right now? What are you reading right now, Natasha?
I just started Sunrise.
Woo!
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's not the vibe, but
I'm only like three chapters in. I got the audiobook, so my school had a new freaking rule where they outlawed headphones. So
annoying.
I can't even listen to shit.
It's like outlawing productivity. How? Why?
I'm literally just writing notes for 4 hours of the day. So, yeah. So who knows how long this is going to take me to read this book, but I'll try.
All right. I have been listening to Gifted and Talented by Olivia Blake, and this book is like Succession meets Knives Out. Like there's these three siblings, and their father is like a huge tech industry tycoon, and he dies. And so they have to return home to their like house, this huge like mansion that he lives on that's like all secluded, and they're waiting for like the reading of the will, and they're all like horrible in their own way, and the youngest is the least horrible, but she's the most like ignored. And I just, so this is why I haven't watched Succession, because I have trouble with like the horrible people aspect, but like it's,
I agree with that.
Yeah. And I'm really hoping that there's like kind of a redemption-ish arc for them, you know, through grieving their father and like trying, having to be together in the same place for waiting for this will, because he recently redid his will. And so there's like, there's some suspicion, like undertone. Like I feel like something happened to him because he died out of the blue. And he had just redone his will like a few months before with a new lawyer. So that's why they haven't read it yet, because there's another lawyer saying that he has the will, and the new lawyer is like, no, I have the most recent will. And so they're battling that out. But it's written so interestingly, like it's so, you know, the cover is the three siblings, but like there's like a swirling circle through their faces, and each of them has like a magical ability. Like one of them has like a mind control ability, and the other one has like an electrical ability, but he hasn't honed it. So he randomly like fucks up electrical things around him when he's upset. And the other one, she has the most interesting, the youngest like causes apocalyptic shit to happen. So like one time she caused it to like rain blood. And when she caused like a swarm of locusts to come
giving Moses.
Yeah, no, she's like very afraid, because she never knows which one's gonna happen, but it's always one of like the plagues of Egypt that happens around her. So and they're trying to like figure out how the fuck to control this, but they're like grown adults, and it's getting worse when they're like in emotional states and stuff. But anyway, It's fascinating. Like, the writing style, it feels like The Swirl. Like, I just read this scene that felt like I was watching a movie because it was, like, edited. She was talking to one person, and then she's talking to somebody else. And like,
oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And she's so good at it. But, like, if you're not paying attention, sometimes, like, you can kind of miss. So you have to be, like, listening, you know, because she jumps around between scenes like that and time. And I just feel like I'm learning. Like, I'm absorbing, like, this cool new, like, writing style that she has. Not, like, new, but, like, you know, I haven't read something like this in a while. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm really pulling for redemption arcs.
Are the characters, like, still giving, like, ickiness?
So,
like, bad people?
It's not, like, horrible people, but, like, assholes. It's
unlikable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the oldest daughter is, like, mean, but she's really smart, and she does care, but she's, like, always outwardly mean. And she's just, like, all her whole life has been, like, trying to live up to her father, like, prove herself as a separate entity. And, like, the son, her younger brother, he's, like, 2 years younger than her, and he's a politician, and he's just, like, he's, like, Aaron Burr. Like, he has no firm beliefs in anything, so if you stand for nothing, what do you stand for sort of vibe with him. And like, he thinks he's nice, but he's, like, never fully, like, paying attention, you know. He's kind of, like, flitting from one thing to the next. And then the youngest was a ballet dancer, and she was, like, a prodigy, but then she had an injury when she was 21 and had to stop, and now she's just, like, feels like her life is kind of over, and she's just been working with her father. But she's actually the closest to her father because, like, her siblings had moved out and he was getting older and spending more time with his one kid that was around, and they're really jealous of her relationship with her father, so they all are mean to her, and it's upsetting.
All right.
Yep. The politician is in a polyamorous relationship. It's wild. They're all in this one house. And I'm like, who killed the father?
This is very Knives Out.
All right. Anyway, that's what I've been reading. But I just started Voice of the Ocean, and I'm hoping to get the audiobook so that I can, like, breeze through it faster, because I only, like, sit down to read for short bursts of time right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Kelsey's book
coming out.
Yeah, this Friday she has an event at the Ripped Bodice, and I'm moderating it. I'll be in conversation with her, so very exciting. Yee. What have you been watching?
We just watched the new episode of The Last of Us.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. I was doing Miley's hair through it, so I feel like I need to watch it again. But there was a really intense scene that was, like, scary. But it's set 5 years later. So, yeah, they do a bit of a jump, and it's literally, like, the game. Like, they just do such a good job of bringing the game to life.
Good.
But yeah, I'm excited and nervous because I know what happens. This is, like, because the first one came out when, like, the first game came out, I think Alex was in, like, an elementary school, maybe, like, sixth grade, maybe, like, middle school-ish.
There was a new one in 2020, though, right?
John and then the new one came out when we were in the pandemic, and I was sitting here with him.
Yeah, I was working. I was there and John was talking about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know what happens at the end.
I forget. I did know, because I did get a rundown of the whole story. But I haven't even watched the first season.
Yeah, but I love Pedro.
Just good.
Excited to see him on my screen every week. What have you been watching?
I watched the season 3 Yellow Jackets finale, and I think the future of Yellow Jackets is very up in the air. Like, I was under the impression that this was a series finale, but they did leave it in a satisfying spot, but in a spot where they could have another season. And so I was like, wait, what the fuck? Is there another season? And I Googled it, and they originally did plan for 5 seasons. So there could be another one, but it depends on if it's picked up for a fourth season. And I'm glad that we kind of got, you know, just we got, like, enough to know how things happened, but we didn't get to see them all happen. Because of it leads into a new season. You know what I mean? But it's called Full Circle for a reason, because just like I said last week I talked about how what if it ends on the scene that they opened with, and the episode is all leading up to the scene that they opened with, but we do see past it too. But like,
okay,
it was like filling in the blanks of what we opened with, which is really nice.
Oh, I gotta catch up.
Mm-hmm. It was good. But like wild. And I've been rewatching Gilmore Girls because I've been in an anxiety area of life, and it's really just the best. I love Gilmore Girls.
We love them.
Yes. What do you have in movies here, Natasha?
I haven't been watching anything besides the show. I was just going to put here that I've been like diligently working on my website after I get home from school. And I just want you guys all to know that I'm going to be premiering 2 sewing classes. So if you guys are interested in that, that's coming. And if you're a patron, I have a special discount code for you. Nice. So if you want the discount code, I will be released, like I would sign up for the Patreon now, like for the whatever tier you want, and then I'll be giving you guys a discount code. It'll be $10 exciting. Off. Yeah, the first class is just a basic class. It's gonna be like $35, and it's gonna be a live class with me, so you can ask me questions. And so you don't have to have any prior knowledge with to sewing at all. Like it's literally gonna be like how I started sewing and how you kind of just get started with garments. And then I'm going to have a corsetry class. They'll both be live at the same time, but the corsetry class will be in August. So you can take the basic sewing and then the corsetry class. Or if you already have sewing knowledge, you can just take the corsetry class. But they're both live, and I'm really excited, and I've been planning it for a while. I've been wanting to do this for a really long time. So I'm excited.
Cool. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't watch any movies this week, so we're going to move on into the main discussion. But of course, right before that, we're going to take a second, thank everyone who's listening. And of course, remind you that we'd love it if you followed the show for free in your favorite podcast listening app, so you get notified when there's a new episode every single week and you never miss anything. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. You can subscribe there for free and catch the visual version of the show, which again, every week there's a visual version of the show. So if you like to watch instead of listen, there we are up on the YouTubes. And also, of course, we've been talking about it a bunch today, but we have Patreon, and it's super fun over there. Our first tier, Team Jacob, you get an extra half an hour of content every single episode, and they're all like fun story times about stuff going on in our lives, or we go a little deeper into stuff we discussed on the show that maybe it just feels a little too personal to share with everyone, but we're like comfortable sharing with our close-knit Patreon community. We truly appreciate your support over there. It is so, so much. It means a lot. And there's lots of fun perks on the other tiers as well for you to check out and enjoy. And the link to that is in the show notes. You can get a 7-day free trial if you want to test it out. And if you want to subscribe annually for the year, you get a 16% discount, which is about a month and a half for free. So that's also an option. Or you can just subscribe month to month. You know, commitment issues. That's cool. All right. For the patrons, you get also commercial free experience. So we're going to roll right into the main discussion. If you are not a patron, we will be right back after these messages. All right. So
we're back.
And we are discussing Gateway Books. This was, I don't know if y'all were around back in 2017, but I did a video called How to Make Anyone a Reader, all about like Gateway Books for certain types of people. And so today we're going to be kind of doing that. We're going to be like giving you a file of facts of different types of people, because finding the right Gateway Book for the right person is an art. You know, you have to assess who you're talking to. How old are they? What shows do they like? What's their personality like? Are they outgoing? Are they shy? Are they into sports? Are they into fandom? Like, are they on their millionth relationship or their first? Are they feeling behind? Are they happily married? Like, where are they? And all of that matters so much in choosing the correct gateway book
for them, to hook them, to lure them in, to make them want to read more.
I think it's kind of like when you, like when someone asks me like, oh, what should I read? And then I had to take like a moment and I'm like, flip, 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 flip. It's like a computer. I'm like, no, not that one. No, not that one. Oh, wait, maybe this one. Okay, this one. This one? No, okay. Okay, this one.
So we've both compiled a list of about 10 gateway books for different types of people. I think we'll go back and forth presenting on our lists. And then we've got a couple to just like kind of warn you that if you present this as a gateway book, it might not work. Books that are popular that aren't necessarily gateways.
They need a disclaimer.
Who needs a disclaimer?
Those books need disclaimers.
No, I think don't even give it to them for a gateway book. I think it's a rookie mistake.
But what if they're like, oh, I've heard about ACOTAR. I really want to read it.
Hey, you're giving away that ACOTAR is at the top of the list.
Well, not everyone of those is going to be in this list. But I feel like those types of popular books that everyone's reading that people want to read, like, I feel like they need like a gate. They need a disclaimer.
I mean,
like,
okay. Yeah, but sometimes if the person doesn't like reading, I don't think ACOTAR is your way in.
Okay. Did you base this off of people that really don't like reading?
No, I base this off of like even readers. Like Maureen stopped reading. A lot of people stopped reading that series after the first book.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Like that is a popular thing that was happening back before it was huge that I was hearing all the time. And honestly, if I wasn't already a huge Sarah J. Maas fan, I don't know if I would have continued either. Because I knew that it would get good because I know Sarah's style. But like, if you're a noob and you read that book and you're like, this is going to have lots of sex because that's what everyone's saying. And then you get into it and like, where the fuck is it? It's not there. And the love interest is not the best. And you know, he just turns into worse. Like it's not something that like makes you crave more, in my opinion. Like you don't want to go back to it because it's depressing.
Yeah. All right. So give us your first one.
All right. My first
and
one.
Tell us which type of person this is meant for.
Okay. Well, a first one is, I'm going to start with the classic, okay? I'm going to start with the go-to book that was kind of our gateway book. You have it on your list, don't you?
Probably.
Okay. Well, we have Twilight. Now, Twilight is going to work on people who, a lot of different types of people, I think, that people who haven't been in the book world recently, Twilight will most likely work for people who are, especially if you're a teenager. I think this is a really great lead in if you're a teenager who feels like an old soul, who feels like they're not pretty enough to, and this enough, like someone who just feels like they're like mid, and it's like a, it's almost like a teenage insecurity, and this kind of gives you the hope and belief that you are enough and everyone will find their person. I feel like that's what it did for me almost, because I was so insecure in the realm of like finding a boy ever that would ever want to like date me. Because, you know, when you're younger and you're like, I'm not as pretty as her, and I'm not as this and this, and I'm not as this and that. And like Bella was so like me. That it was intoxicating that she like had gotten the attention of this like perfect boy.
Yes.
How was it for you?
I reluctantly put Twilight on this list because of the movie aspect. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's an 18-year-old girl. There's a couple of girls at my school that have never seen the movie and never read the book. And the easy thing for non-readers to do is go watch the movie. And so then
think it's dumb at this time of their life?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like pop culture in and of itself thinks that Twilight is dumb, you know?
Yeah. But like this generation, it kind of is like past that. Like they kind of missed it.
Yeah. So like it is meant for the teens right now, the Gen Alphas.
Yeah. I wouldn't give this to a grown person right now, even though my mom devoured all these books like this and she never reads anything.
And I think, like, if you're going to give it to a grown person, you can't be like, I would be like, do you want, in my opinion, Twilight is a little kinky. Let's just say that. Like, it's a vampire that's 100 years old who falls in love.
You don't think about it like that when you're reading it.
But to me, that's what enamored me to it. Is like, oh my gosh. He thinks she's special.
Well, yeah, the thing is he's special. But like, I didn't think about it as because he's old. I thought about it because, like, just as like he's a beautiful boy who's really smart.
It's still like he's a beautiful, rock hard, sparkly boy.
Yeah,
and you're like, how? Why? So yeah. I would go into it being like, do you want to feel like entranced? Like you're like you've taken some sort of drug and that's how you want to feel and you're just going to crave more of this type of thing? That's what Twilight is.
Yeah. Well, Twilight, though, I almost don't want to tell them much except that, like, just read it. What? I don't want anyone.
But you have to sell it harder because of what it means in pop culture land now.
I mean, I would sell it as, like, it is so bingeable. Like, you're going to read it and then crave more. But, like, I just feel like the more... It depends who you're talking to. It depends on the person. But, like, if it was me, I don't want to hear many details because I start to get, like, you're putting this feeling on me.
But, yes, you don't want to give any details, but because of the purpose of what it is, or like, essentially, Twilight is so big in pop culture, like, I feel like you have to sell it a little differently than and not give it... You still have to give some details to sell it.
Yes, some details, but, like, I don't want to give too much details. Like, just... Especially to a teenager, I feel like they're kind of, like, they don't know much about Twilight at all.
Yeah. I think I sold it fine.
Yeah, but, I feel like...
I mean, I'm not going to tell people that it's kinky. I'm just going to be like...
Yeah, I don't think... Like, don't say that to the teen.
I'm going to be like... You're going to feel enamored. Like, this guy wants... You know, he falls in love with her. It's all about the romance. And, like, it's an adventure story.
See, I see it differently. But I, like, you know, sell it to whoever you want. Depending on, like, what they're craving, you know? Because you know the people who usually come up to you, who you're friends with, that are looking for something, or like a young person.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When my nieces are like turn 15, I'm gonna force feed this to them.
I wrote a whole script in college, like imagining like 50 years from now, not 50, like 40 years from now, that like this young girl finds these books in a box in the basement.
It's like Jumanji.
Basically, I love Jumanji so much. I put stuff like that in all my books. Like Jumanji. Yes, I grew up on Jumanji. What do you want from me? And she reads them and like falls in love with them. But she's like unfamiliar with it at all. Like she has no idea what she's in for. And that's why it's so exciting. Because she's like, why are these here? What are these books? And then they're like so addictive. Mm-hmm. Release the script, Frank.
Okay,
what's on your list next?
Okay, the number one book that I seem to always recommend these days, mm-hmm. for some reason, is Verity by Colleen Hoover.
That's on my list as well.
Yeah, I feel mm-hmm. like I get so many, because I'm such a romance reader, I get so many people who are like, yeah, I've read like a few thrillers. Like, I like murder mystery. I don't know. I'm just like not big into reading. Or, oh my gosh, they'll be like I've only really read nonfiction. Oh god,
the nonfiction people just don't understand that fiction is really, really fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like they have this preconceived notion of it being about, like, random elves and, like, sword fighting without any of the grounding aspects of fiction.
And I feel like a lot of people, they're like, I don't want to read romance or, like, a rom-com. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
They don't have any concept of what it's going to be like, I feel like. And it's so frustrating.
And so, like, if I want to sound like I know, like, I read more thrillers than I actually do, I'm like, okay, well, then you should read Verity. Because then I'll go in, I'll be like, have you read Jane Eyre?
What?
I feel like Jane Eyre is very similar to Verity.
Yeah, but you're going to cancel all the people that immediately get turned off by Jane Eyre because it's a classic.
Okay, I don't make that, what's it called? That
connection with every single person. But for instance, I literally did this week with one of the girls. Her mother-in-law came in and got her roots done, and Monet was saying like, oh, she loves to read, and then she was telling me all the things she likes to read, and it, like, she was like, oh yeah, I really like murder mystery things, and like, I read Anne Rice, and I'm like, oh, okay. So then I made the Jane Eyre connection. She was like, oh. Yeah. So
yeah, you gotta clock your audience and their age range for those connections that are gonna specifically spark their interest. Like, yes. I've recommended Verity to a lot of younger people. My cousin Holly loved Verity, and she's like, oh, I gotta read everything by Colleen Hoover. And I was like, yeah, you do. They're gonna be different though. And she's like, what's closest to Verity? And I was like, Ugly Love.
Layla, I feel like, is closest to Verity, but it's not as good.
Layla is for people. I have a whole co-host section on this list here, so I guess we'll just move in. Layla is for people that weren't around for like the supernatural burst of the late 2000s and early 2010s, because I've seen Layla before, so I wasn't as excited by it, but I still enjoyed it. But like, if you weren't there for that, you're going to enjoy it much more than I did, because I love that shit. But since I've seen so much of it, it's not the same.
Yeah. Okay. As Verity. I see that now. I wasn't expecting it. So it gave different vibes for me.
Yeah.
But like, I've gotten so many people to read Verity. Like, mm-hmm. Kayla, my best friend Kayla, hairstylist, hasn't read a book since Twilight. And she read Verity.
Yeah. Well, not to be like, I was a hipster Verity fan, but I read Verity the second the arc dropped.
Yeah,
and 2 days later, I made a video, and I dropped that video the day it came out. I was like, everyone has to read this. But like, Verity is so fucking good. I feel like most people, even people who don't like horror, it's going to get them excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like it's a good gateway book for the horror, murder mystery, like to get people into like romance.
Yes. Yeah. Because Holly wasn't like specifically a romance person, but then she got into coho through Verity. Yeah. And
and then went down the rabbit hole.
Yes. A lot of people go down the rabbit hole through Verity because it gets them into Colleen's writing styles, because she's very good at writing like very unexpected storylines. And every single book of hers that I've read has had something happen that I just like didn't see coming. And it's always like so fun to be like, where is she going to take this? The only one I saw coming ever was Layla. And that's like 1 out of 10 or 11. So it's fine.
Okay, what are your other... Sorry, we were going down the Colleen...
The coho. Okay, so for coho, I recommend 3 different starter books. Okay, depending on who you're talking to. Verity, then November 9th, which I'm done not talking about November 9th. November 9th had like random controversy because of one booktuber a long time ago. But mm-hmm. November 9th is fantastic.
And it got changed.
The concept, and she changed the line. And the concept is so fun. Like, they meet every year on November 9th. And I love that. I want to write a book like that one day where it's like they just see each other once every like however many years on this date. But that one or Ugly Love. Those are my 3 coho bring them into the world books. I think It Ends With Us could actually turn off a lot of people because of the domestic violence aspect.
I think it's a lesson. It's a good book if people need to learn a lesson or need to learn about it.
Yeah. But I don't know if it'll bring in.
I don't know.
To read more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's great. I just don't think it's like the starter pack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
But yeah, on the theme of Verity, for like adrenaline seekers, if you want someone to like experience how a book can give you an adrenaline rush, for a younger crowd, Divergent is still the book for them. Like, if someone thinks reading isn't exciting, especially if they're a young girl, you give them Divergent. But like, I gave so many random men in my life in their early 20s Divergent, and they also loved it. Ate that shit up.
Yeah. And that's the one where I'm like, don't watch the movie first, please.
No.
Please read the book.
No. Yeah. I feel like it's always better to read the book. 99.9% of the time.
Speaking of men.
Yes, you have one for men. I have one for men on here too.
My favorite thing to do, and Red I Rising. Have this. Oh, Red Rising. Oh, the men eat this story up. This book is for the guys who like love Star Wars, and they like shoot 'em gums and big ships and go pew pew like that. Like Red Rising is that book. And like the first one is more like Hunger Games vibes, but it's mm-hmm. also like Game of Thrones meets Hunger Games. But then you get to the second one, and that's more of like the big ships crashing into each other and like just like Star Wars type of situation. But literally there's a guy in my class who just finished all of the Throne of Glass books, and he's like, "I'm going to read Red Rising next." So I'm like, yeah, you do that. So he's also gay, and I felt safe to say this. I'm like, just keep in mind when you read it, how the women are portrayed. So, but yeah, oh my gosh, all the guys love Red Rising. Every single one of my brother and his friends all read it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, on the same vein, this one is for men like that, not necessarily like talk about Star Wars all the time, but like, you know, the guys who love to talk about like space and like Jupiter's moons and like the light years to get to, like, there's guys who love space in like a space, just like flat out. Like I watch the takeoffs of every like mission of NASA.
Oh yeah.
And those guys. All right. The Hail Mary Project. That's
coming with Ryan Gosling.
Excellent.
Right?
That's coming with Ryan Gosling. Don't look at anything about it, okay? Read the fucking book. It's so much fun. And I was so proud that
Project Hail Mary.
I'm so sorry. I said it backwards. By Andy Weir. And the audiobook is excellent. So you could lure them in that way. And I had the best time listening to that audiobook. It's fucking amazing. And I really just want to re-listen to it. I had the best time. Speaking of, John just texted me. I was just going to say, I got John to read it and he loved it. And it was so much fun to like, I read the book and then immediately he listened to it and loved it too. And he doesn't read much at all. But he does love like storytelling and stuff. Like the video game people still love storytelling in a different way. But it's great, and I feel like it's a great entry point. And on that same vein, The Martian, if they haven't seen the movie yet, like the book has a great audiobook, and the book is so good and so funny. And it's just the tone of Andy Weir's writing is very like, it has a lot of like sarcastic humor and like self-deprecating humor. It's just funny. There's a lot of sci-fi, like realistic grounded sci-fi elements, but all amongst it is humor, and I love that.
I need to read an Andy Weir book. I haven't read that.
Yes.
Did he write Dark Matter, or was that somebody else?
No. He has three right now. I haven't read Artemis because I got like mixed reviews, but I should just read it because I love the other two so much. I feel like.
Okay.
But he's got The Martian, Artemis, and Project Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. The Martian and Project Hail Mary, excellent, and I think very great books to draw in the guy who likes mm-hmm. space stuff.
I also have another one, I think, that goes into this category. A lot of people, again, it has to do with space, but if you watch Three Body Problem and you liked Three Body Problem,
yes.
I read this book series that's called Sleeping Giants. Mm-hmm. It's by the same Random House. When I had a really
good like, when
Del Rey,
that's what it is, yeah.
When Pierce's books were coming out, they were sending me a lot of the same books in the same vein, so I was kind of reading all those. Sleeping Giants is really good. It's in a really fun format. It's only audio, like it's only taken from people who are talking.
Oh, like
it's
Daisy like Jones clips.
Yes, exactly, like Daisy Jones. The audiobook is really good because they've got a full cast, and it starts off where they find this alien artifact that's like buried deep down into the Earth's And it's like a robot that you can man, but they don't know how to man it. And it's like a whole rabbit hole of them trying to figure out. And they get like a team together. And it's really cool. I really I love those books.
Nice.
Moving on from the spacemen vein. Even though not just men will enjoy those ones. Anyone who likes space. But like if you are targeting a man specifically, because we have so many romance ones.
Yeah.
You go in that direction.
I really have to. The thing is, when it comes to a guy and they're like, oh, I have to pull so hard because I just read romance now. And I'm like, okay, 10 years ago.
I think for a slightly younger man, boy, or even like people who have a more. You know, the people who think of themselves more like scholarly and pretentious, you know, that type of person who like doesn't, who looks at romance and is like, I don't read that. I feel like something that you could give them is any of these books we just mentioned, but also, oh my God, I just lost my train. What was it? What was I going to say? Any of these books? Oh, Scythe.
I was about to say that.
Scythe is excellent, and it's for like people who like to think about things and like ponder thematically and like the world. Like it brings up so many philosophical questions and just discussions that I find so much fun and so fascinating. We both loved it. Audiobook's fantastic.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
I said this is for the person who read The Hunger Games back in the day and they haven't read anything else.
I wouldn't clock it that way, but like I think they would still like it, yeah.
Or they read Divergent and they haven't read anything
or
else.
They read The Giver and they were like, this is so interesting. And then like, let's take it up a notch and make it more exciting. That's Scythe. Like Scythe is a utopian society. And in this society, people don't die because we've figured out how to live forever. These books are fantastic. If you haven't read them yet, like you have to. They're so good. Just get the audiobooks. But there have to be people hired to kill people to prevent overpopulation. So Scythes basically gets a plague god. They have a quota of amount of people they have to kill every year, and they can do it however the fuck they choose. Okay? So this power can easily be used in for evil. You know, like people with fucked up mentalities who get this job can use it in various ways that can be seen as very morally inept. We're at a point where the Scythes are almost becoming like too powerful. Like they are overstepping in their power, and we're following interns. So like to be a Scythe, you first get called a Han to be an intern for a Scythe. So we're following two interns, and it's the whole world is so fucking fascinating. Like there's a Thunderhead, which is like basically AI that everyone can talk to all the time. That's like their god. Like they can just ask the Thunderhead anything at any time and they just answer them. And like there are kids that throw themselves off of buildings because it's called splatting, and they just are brought revived back to life. Yeah. And society is so different because at any point, like say you're 50 and you decide like you want to be young again, you can turn a corner and you can go all the way back to age 21. And it completely fucks up what we consider to be like the family lifespan. Like people will just start over with families and forget about their previous kids and stuff because you basically are resetting your whole life. And it's bananas. So nothing really means anything because there's no death. Death is what gives all of our life meaning. And so there's so much branching out from that. Like it's amazing. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Just think about it too.
Yeah. There's no struggle. And when there's no struggle, there's no good art. There's no good anything.
There's also no higher power too.
Well, that's a whole nother fascinating thing. When you're reading, you get to think about because there is a higher power, the Thunderhead.
In this vein, before we move on to the romance stuff,
yes,
I also tell people to read Ninth House. I'm sure that's on your list, Christine.
So I didn't put it on my list because I think people who haven't, like, don't know that reading's fun yet might have a hard time just getting in because it does take some concentrating.
Yeah. I would say then this is, like, for people who, I said it, who like suspenseful, dark, horror, supernatural shit.
I think they love it. I think they have to, like, give it a second, though. Like, not give up on the first couple chapters.
Yeah. And also in that vein, I said The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
See, I didn't put that on either because I do think everyone would love it, but I just feel like it takes a half second. And some people are just so impatient.
Yeah. I tell people to read this if they... Like, the girls, there was a couple girls who were, like, just reading the really popular fantasy novels in my class. And I'm like, okay, if you want something different that's, like, also in that
vein. Yeah.
That vein. Mm-hmm. Take a drink every time I say vein. where you're rooting for this person and you want her to succeed, but you also kind of like this dark, deep thing that's, like, building and you're kind of, like,
and it's a murder
interested
mystery.
By it. Yeah, it's a murder mystery. Oh, hold on. I'm talking about The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Ninth House.
Then read that, especially if you want. Like, if you've done The Fourth Wing and you've done the, like... other, like, fantasy novels, go to that.
Yeah. But that's, like, the after the gateway, like, bringing you into the reading bubble. But, like, Fourth Wing is the gateway. Like, Fourth Wing is the Divergent of our time for adults. Like, and I think Fourth Wing could also get the boys.
Boys. I really want Alex to read it. I really want to
get his thoughts. If he needs it, let's get him on the show to talk about it.
Yes. Okay. So for those, I have another one that's like, okay. So, like, Fourth Wing is the Divergent of our time. Mm-hmm. But for people, I feel like, who are also in that, like, pretentious-y area still, but maybe they like fantasy, but they like old fairy tales and things like that. And maybe they're interested in, like, the Renaissance fair or whimsical type things. I always tell people to read Uprooted by Naomi Novik because it's an old gothic fairy tale retelling, about the Goblin King. Also, it's similar to, what's that movie with, she's a young girl. She's in, like, a white dress. She goes under. It's like the Goblin King.
I don't know.
It's an 80s movie with the singer.
Oh, I don't know it at all.
Anyway, someone's going to tell me in the chat. Labyrinth. Thank you. It's got vibes of Labyrinth, but also, like, spooky, scary times and kind of, like, a dark sexual undercurrent that I just crave and I love. So
nice.
That's what I tell people.
In that vein, so if you're talking to a more youth person, so like a teen, maybe early 20s, and they love fairy tales and they also, or if they're like a Disney person, like a Disney girly, this was on my earlier list back in 2017 and it still stands. The Cinder, The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer are so good. Cinder is a Cinderella retelling with her, but they live in a world where there are cyborgs, which just means, like, if she loses a leg, it's replaced with, like, a computerized metal part. And then there's, like, a chip in their head that, like, lets everything run correctly.
This is also good if people like Arcane.
I don't know what that is, but cool. What is that, the show?
That's a Netflix animated show. Hailee Steinfeld voices with the blue hair.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a great book for people who are super into, like, Disney fairy tale retellings, like, and it's a four book series. Each main character that you meet is based off of a retelling of a famous character, but, like, it's got, like, all these sci-fi cool aspects and they all start to converge and it's done really, really well.
Yeah. My three goes, yes, Arcane fan, Cinder and Arcane Natasha, you genius. Metal says, I'm rereading the Lunar Chronicles right now, and it's still amazing, except after living through a global pandemic, everything with Ludomosis was so unbelievable. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Oh my God, I forgot about that too. That's in the first one, but not so much in the others, right?
Yeah. Shots is another one for the space
fans. I don't think this is for the space fans necessarily at all. I hate space, and I just tolerated the space aspects.
You know who I think who would like this? I think Natalie might enjoy it.
Oh, I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. wow. Mimics.
But yeah, Julia really liked it back in the day. I remember she finished that whole series. And also, before we get off of this, like, male vein, I forgot to say, for the guy who loves, like, aliens amongst us, like, conspiracy theories...
I like this stuff.
Yeah, you do too. But I'm just talking about, like, this is one that I could apply. All of our books could apply to women, but, like, there's a specific few that we put in the man column. And The Fifth Wave is one of those. Not the whole series. Just tell them the book is a standalone. And give them The Fifth Wave. It's excellent. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten so many, like, male people into books during my 20s with The Fifth Wave.
I think I once, when I told Alex on a Reddit, he was like, oh, that sounds so interesting. Mm-hmm.
I gave Paul a complete rundown of the whole thing, and he was so fascinated, and he was like 13. all right. What's next on your list?
Okay. So, before this is going to be a little intro to romance, but...
Yeah.
This is someone that when I think about someone who likes, okay, if someone comes to me mm-hmm. and they're like, Natasha, I really love historical romance. Like, what book should I read? Like, I love Pride and Prejudice. Like, should I read Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen? And I'm like, hold up, girl, don't read that first. You should probably start, if you want to read a classic romance novel, you should probably start with Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen, because we've got two girls who fall in love. So there's more romance in Sense and Sensibility and less of the societal gossipy talk that's like sprinkled mm-hmm. all throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. People could have a hard time getting through Pride and Prejudice if they're not like a classics fan.
Yeah. And I just enjoy that novel of Jane Austen's the most. Mm-hmm. I really love Jane Eyre, but that's not for everyone. So the mm-hmm. Sense and Sensibility is shorter, it's quicker, it's more romance.
All right. I just want to say, for a young boy, because we didn't actually talk about like youth, but a boy in middle school, so many of my like neighbors' kids have gotten into reading, and I think some of my cousins and stuff, Percy Jackson, like, will always work. Yeah. My neighbor's kid read Percy Jackson. She's like, what do I give him next? I was like, oh my God, legend. Wait, Percy Jackson, we've got a lot of spinoffs. We've got the one, like, the Heroes of Olympus, and then we've got the Apollo series. And there's just so much by Rick Riordan with Percy to feed. Yeah. And the Norse mythology books. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the names of those right now. Also excellent. But moving into romance, okay? So if you have an adult woman in her 30s, I think a really great book to give them is Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez, which is 37-year-old protagonist who is single, and she's been in a relationship for a long time, but like, it's not good. She just got out of it. And she ends up dating a man who's like 28. And it's just, it's so good. And also like so inspiring for any women who are having trouble in the dating world. Excellent. Or Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. Those are great starter books for someone who has mm-hmm. never read romance before.
I always, when I start with romance, I do start with like the author first, and then I'm like, and I pinpoint like which mm-hmm. book I think they'll like. But for my plus size girls, because I get a lot of these questions all the time, I've got two. So Olivia Dade writes mainly plus size novels. Okay. If you are a plus size fan girly girl, you're going to want to read Spoiler Alert. That's the first book in like her fangirl series. And it's really fun because she's like a fanfic writer. She's a redhead, very curvaceous. She's like has this online community where she writes this fic. Everyone loves it. And she's talking to this guy who or this other writer who's also writing a really popular fic. And they have a whole, friendship online. And it turns out he's one of the actors in the show that she's writing a fanfic for. So it turns into this whole fun thing. It's really fun. Definitely recommend you read it. If you are been watching The Bachelor and you're like, oh my God, why aren't there any plus size people on this fucking show? You should read The One to Watch. I forgot to write the author's name down, but we'll find it.
I used to have that right here. Oh, What to Watch? Kate Stayman London.
Yeah. It's this girl who's kind of had she's a plus size influencer, and she gets pulled to be, they need something new. She gets pulled to be the bachelorette, and she's got all these men who like want to date her, and it's so good. I loved it so much.
Yeah, that one has been on my TBR for a long time, and I always see it right here on my bookcase next to the computer.
There's another book Julie wrote, which is similar vibes. It's a Cinderella retelling.
Oh yeah,
But it's more of it's more like YA than mm-hmm. like romance. So that would be like for the younger plus size girly.
Yeah, forgot to say, and this is just like kind of a given, but like I think anyone would get into reading if you give them The Hunger Games, and then you could feed them Legend. Yes. Then you could feed them Divergent. Like then you could feed them Fourth Wing. Like you,
I feel like I haven't had the opportunity to tell someone to read The Hunger Games I feel like everyone knows it.
Well, I started telling people in the hipster day of 2008, so I did tell
someone
a lot
told
of people
me to read it, and that's how I got into it.
Yeah, but anyway, back to romance. So I think if you have someone in college, a young woman, or like leading up to college, a Gemba Butter is like literally made for these people. My mm-hmm. Nana just called me and she was like, oh my gosh, I wanted to tell you that one of my friends, her granddaughter is in college and she read your book. I was telling her about your books, like her friend. And she was like, wait a minute, my granddaughter read this book and she loved it so much. And like, she was having a hard time aww. In college and it made her feel so much more hopeful. And now she's going to go study abroad in London.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. And like, I've just had so many stories like that. And that's why I want to write it, because I had that feeling in college. And leading up to college, I like knew nothing about what to expect. And I feel like, mm-hmm. so that's made for that. If you know mm-hmm. someone that's going into that age group or that is in college struggling, again, but better. It's on Kindle Unlimited, but there's also regular book form.
I feel like we're just talking about your book this weekend, because we were talking about one of our like cousins married into cousins, whatever. She's studying abroad. She's like, yeah, I think she's in London right now. I'm like, oh my God, if I could have gone back and gone to college, I would have done the study abroad thing because of Christine's book.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah, so there's that. And I already talked about Ath. Like, those two books I really are to like also made to turn people into a reading person if they're not already. Mm-hmm. But okay, The Unhoneymooners also.
Oh, that's mine.
Okay, we have the same one. For I think almost anyone, if you want to get them into a romance novel, The Unhoneymooners yes. is so funny and so much fun.
It's like, well, besides the murder mystery aspect of White Lotus,
it's like what?
It's like White Lotus, like a rom-com for White Lotus.
It's much funnier, like romance-based.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But it's got the vibes. It's got the vibes of White Lotus.
Yes. The vibes of the island.
But a How to Lose a Guy in 10, not really even. No. But it's like enemies to
it's
lovers.
It's hate to love. Yeah.
It's hate to love. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun and so mm-hmm. funny. All right. And okay. So
back to like the historical fiction girlies, or like if they feel, if you, they're like hesitant to go into romance because they're like rom-coms, those are just like, they don't mean anything. Like that sort of vibe. Even though if people are saying that they haven't read good rom-coms, they haven't, because like rom-coms are a lot of them very well-rounded, have a lot of like underlying themes that will relate to things that you're going through in your life. But anyway, they're not all like nothing books, like people like to look at them. But putting that aside, if you have a person that you have to break through, you give them Taylor Jenkins Reid. You give them Evelyn Hugo, The Seven Lives.
Oh, yes.
The Seven Husbands. Sorry. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. I think it's the starter book for her. And then all of her books are fucking amazing. Okay. This, oh, I should have put this on the news. She has a new book coming out that literally, I follow Taylor Jenkins Reid and she's posted about it since last October. None of those posts have made it to my feed. I am so upset. It's, I would have been upset if I missed the it coming out. It comes out in June. It's called Atmosphere. And I didn't even know it was coming. And it's about a girl that's like a woman, not a girl, a woman like, I don't know, going to space. She's like in NASA or something. I didn't want to know anything because, you know, me. But I'm so excited. And Evelyn Hugo, I think, is the way in. What would, which one would you say? Daisy Jones?
I was going to say Evelyn Hugo. I started with Daisy Jones. But I think I have to warn people about the drug and alcohol abuse in that, which it's too much for me. But I loved Evelyn Hugo so much, especially if you really like the old movies, Hollywood. Oh, it's so rich. Like,
yeah. And then like Malibu Rising is fantastic. If you have a This Is Us watcher, Malibu Rising. And the great thing about Taylor Jenkins Reid's books, they all have like spectacular audiobooks. So, I mean, getting a person to start an audiobook is a whole nother thing. But once you start it, you're like, oh, wait, this is fucking great.
I have in the rom-com realm.
Yes.
If people, this, my like three main rom-coms that I tell people to read, like for different things. I always tell them to read Unhoneymooners. If they're like, oh my God, I've never like really read, like I really want to read rom-com. Like, where should I start? I'm like, don't we start with Unhoneymooners? If you are, if you're one of those girls who has to sit there and watch football every fall season, and you're like, I kind of like the vibes of this. Like, I kind of get it. If you want that like vibey sports thing, then read The Wall of Winnipeg and Me. And I always tell them like, it's a slow burn and it's so good. Like, you're just gonna want to for them to get together the whole time. So I always tell them to read that. And then I do tell people to read The Love Hypothesis, but I feel like I'm slowly pulling away from The Love Hypothesis. And I'm kind of going like, okay, what about Emily Henry? You know, like maybe read Book Lovers instead of The Love Hypothesis. But yeah, like if some, I don't have a lot of women in STEM in my life or else.
Yeah, if there's a woman in STEM, I would push them towards Allie Hazelwood first. But Emily Henry's books are very much like literary based, you know, a lot of women in the book world.
Yeah. So it's hard to get people to buy in if they're not, if they're just normal everyday people who don't read.
Into Allie.
Well, but I think both, I mean, yeah, probably into Allie.
I think you can get into Emily pretty easily. Allie, I think you can get in. You just need the right pitch. I think Deep End is actually the one to start with.
Really?
At this point. Yeah. I feel like Bride, you have to have them all. You have to like have them.
I ain't telling anyone to read Bride.
Well, I think that people who like have a vampire aversion or something might not read it like immediately if like if they're looking for a romance. It depends who you're talking to. I think it's like your audience based. Yeah. Like I think a lot of people, you can get them into like intrigued into Deep End with like the BDSM aspect.
Yeah. Oh, if you read 50 Shades of Grey back in the day and you haven't read anything else, read Deep End.
Deep End.
Yeah.
But
Shot says, as a woman in STEM, I assure you, we I do not want to read about women in STEM.
I feel like it depends on like if you're a big reader or not. But like, I think if you're trying to get someone into reading, it might be nice. Like, I don't know. I love reading about writers.
I feel like I've been reading too much about people as writers.
Yeah, you start to read a lot and then you're like, okay. But that's why it was so much fun to read about women in STEM. But like,
yeah,
I did love reading about book lovers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like reading about people who are interested to an extent. And then you're like, okay, I'm ready for something else. But like at the beginning, it's nice to feel seen.
All right. I only have one more section.
Okay.
And
I only have one more too.
Okay. I've got a whole section that I have to break down.
All right. What's the section?
This is the fanfic Germaine section. Okay. Because this is where the people who maybe have been reading and they're reading the romance, but then they get on TikTok and they're like, oh, what's Germaine? Natasha, you've read fan fiction. What book shall I read first? And I get this question all the fucking time. So here's my breakdown. Are we ready?
Go ahead.
You're not as excited about this.
No. Go for it.
Okay.
Sorry, I was being blinded and I turned it down.
Oh. Okay, so this is specifically if you're interested in reading Germaine fan fiction.
All right.
This is only for Germaine. Okay, so personally, I don't like reading anything outside of the Harry Potter universe. I'm not an alternate universe type of girly. I like the magic. I like all that stuff. Like, I like to read things where maybe they change the end of the war, or it's Draco and Hermione in the future, stuff like that. Or they're at school. Love that stuff, okay? Manacled is the book that gets pushed down everyone's throats on TikTok, and I tell everyone, do not start with Manacled. Okay.
Oh, I thought you said I would like that one.
Did I? I think I told you to read Draco Hermione and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love first.
Oh, I thought you said I would like Manacled.
I think you would like it because it's a Handmaid's Tale retelling.
Manacled is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also tell people, like, the disclaimer with Manacled is that you, if you're not into, like, it's very violent and it's very explicit. So, like, if you can't handle that, don't read Manacled. It's definitely not the gateway one. Mm-hmm. I would recommend definitely if you're a romance girly and you're interested in Germaine and you kind of like the aspect of like the hate to love to it, you need to start with Draco Malfoy and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love. It's like funny, lighthearted adventure romance, and it's a very super slow burn.
Okay.
Nicole says my friend who's into Germaine also told me not to start with Manacled because of how dark it is. She told me to start with Mortifying Ordeal. I just said that. Okay. If you are interested in like the dark aspect of Germaine and you're like, okay, I'll dip my toes in, there's another classic Germaine fanfic that was written years ago, probably 12 years ago. It's called Fallout, and it's a warfic, and we follow Draco and Hermione as they go through the war together and they meet at these certain safe houses. It's very long. It's very beautiful. It's written so well because you're watching as they're creating all of this character growth. But the tension of the war is in the background and you're just waiting for like these pieces to crumble the whole time as they like grow together. And then, okay, are they going to reverse? But it's like hard earned resiliency and it pays off. And then if you like a fun murder mystery aspect to your reading and romance, my classic always is Hunted by Bex Chan. This is when they're older. So like they already have jobs in like close to 30s.
Okay.
They already have jobs at the ministry. And so, yeah, those are my three. So Fallout, nice. Draco Malfoy, and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love, and then Hunted.
There's so much that's called Fallout.
I know.
So Fallout season 2 is filming, which is so exciting.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that show for a second. Yeah, just like I know Manacled, like it's like you want to read, just don't. It's going to hurt you a lot.
I mean, I do love The Handmaid's Tale, but I haven't watched in 2 seasons because it got really, really dark.
And that's exactly why. Because you'll probably DNF it because it gets really dark.
But I just also, this is a completely separate note. Metal said writers love to write characters who are writers. And it's because, like, when that's the experience you know the most, you can write stuff that's the most accurate. That's why, like, Allie loves to write women's stuff. Because she's a woman in stuff.
Yeah. Because you have to infuse your writing with as much authenticity as you can.
Yeah, you have to have the background. So if you don't have, like, a super well ingrained background in like the career you're writing, you have to do so much research, and even then you're like, am I getting it right? Yeah.
That's so. Like it gets me excited for when I write my own, because I feel like I've got, you know, I've got the sewing, I've got hair and makeup now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really excited to infuse that into my stories.
Yeah, it's really fun to explore like any interest that you do have a background in, and then like explore like what a career would look like in there. That's why, like, I feel like you live like different lives through all your characters. But if it's something that you don't have a genuine interest in, it's really difficult to feel like you're genuinely writing the character. All right, the last thing I have on my list is for your like younger generation. I feel like someone in their 20s or like a teen who is interested at all in like murder. The Good Girl's Guide to Murder, for sure. It's addictive. It's so much fun. It's funny. And there's just so much juicy murder shit. Like, the twists and turns, the mystery of it all is done so well. And the trilogy itself ties together very, very well. They started filming season two of that too, which is so exciting.
Okay, I'm just gonna watch it. I don't know when I'm gonna be able to read the books.
Yeah, you can watch it, but the audiobooks are so good, and I think so much better.
Is the first season the first book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll look to see how long the audiobook is, but I gotta read The Hunger Games first, so.
Yeah. But those audiobooks are excellent, so definitely you can push them that way. It's hard because I feel like people who aren't readers are even more hesitant to audiobook, because they're like, audiobooks, what even? They don't get it. It's like,
yeah, well, I used to have this weird thing about audiobooks, because it was something that you didn't have a chance to choose what you listened to, and then your parents would put it on in the car, and then you had to sit there and listen to it.
Oh, see, my parents never. So I was like, yeah. What are they? I don't think I like it. Why wouldn't I read with my eyes? Like, it's not until you get a little older and you're like, I can't read with my eyes. I have too much to do. Like, I guess I'm going to try the audiobook. But audiobooks are fantastic for people who maybe also have like some dyslexic stuff going on. Audiobooks, the way to go.
Yeah. It's hard for people though who have like ADHD.
Yeah. But
to like focus in.
I mean, Sasha.
That's true. I just know a couple of people are like, oh, I can't read because of that.
I feel like maybe they haven't found the right book. I still think that like if you find the right book, you can like figure out how to read if you want to.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, all right. I think that's our, is that our file of facts?
Yeah,
that's our guide to turning your people into readers. We're going to move on into Mary Kiss Cliff, which Natasha has for us today.
Well, all right. So off the top of my head, because I forgot to fill this out, we're going to go with Haymitch.
Okay.
PETA or four?
Four? Where'd four come from? Okay. I am going to kiss Haymitch, marry PETA, kill four. So are we four?
I am going to marry PETA, kiss four, and Cliff Haymitch.
Oh my god. Poor Haymitch has been through so much, and you're gonna push him off a cliff.
I don't know what he's been through yet. I haven't read it. I just have a little backstory.
Oh, we know he's been through Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's true.
But all right. Well, that's our show today, folks. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. If you don't already, we'd love if you followed the podcast in Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls. We've got a lot of fun stuff being posted over there. And whenever we get feedback from y'all, or we ask for like questions, or I don't even know what I'm saying, you'll know stuff about the show before it happens, usually using the podcast. I mean, using the Instagram. And Chloe Laverson runs our socials. She does a great job. So make sure you can also follow us on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. And our show is edited by Emma Vergard, Natasha Bowles, Alex Bowles, Christine Riccio. Our show is music by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Chaska. And we release new episodes every single Friday. So I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we're off to go record Fangirl Tea Time. We've got fun stuff to talk about today. So if you're a patron, we'll see you right after this. If not, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.